welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sark.
Everybody's not going to hear it, but I'm going to go ahead and tell the story anyway. That we just had a little uh-oh, because I hit the recording button.
Yeah.
I thought I hit the record button. I let Jordan get well and into spill, like, yeah. And I was like, hey, there's nothing happening on my screen here.
And so, yeah, that was my second refresh. Take, what you just heard. And
it was just, you know, look, it was just as clean and fresh as the first one.
It's called muscle memory. You just do this for 100 times and you can just do it in your sleep.
Yeah, but sometimes if you decide to just quit thinking about it because you've done it so many times, that's when you mess up.
Yeah, don't jinx me.
Thank you for, you know, at the end, you're like, and remember to, there's truth in some scriptures.
Oh, that's going to happen this episode. I guarantee it. Well, guys, if you're just tuning in for the first time, you've never listened to us before, we're Share Truth, Apply Scripture, Jordan Chambly and Cedra Sarton. We like to talk about matters that are really concerning, especially for younger Christians, but generally speaking, this is very applicable to everyone. So we like to tackle issues such as, sometimes we talk about things like parenting or discipleship a lot of times.
Yeah, last week we discussed social media.
Social media, yeah. Things like education has come up a few times. Every so often, or once every month rather, bring into studio with us Chris Woodward from American Family News to talk about crazy things that's happening in the world that we need to be concerned about and praying about. Chris, thank you for coming in again.
Thank you very much. I can relate to the error there at the beginning of the show that we just discussed. When I was in college, for a brief period of time, I wanted to be a videographer, which in English means cameraman.
Yeah.
And I was working for a campus TV station at the university I studied at. And got a degree from. But I went to a health fair, and I got a lot of video. Was able to get video of the mascot, which at my university, my alma mater, you have to have like an act of Congress to be near. And so I got a lot of video of the mascot. I got video of people there that were getting blood drawn and nurses and stuff like that. I got back to the edit bay at the TV center and realized I never hit record. And I knew right then I was not destined to be a cameraman or videographer.
Oh, man. I feel like things like that, just even at home, like I've done that where my wife Anna's like, oh, they're doing something cute. The kids are doing something cute. Get a picture, take a video. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I get my phone out. And I'm like, yeah, this is really awesome. I'm glad we're capturing this precious moment here. And then it's like, well, I didn't.
I'm a terrible photographer, too. I have like 3 pictures of my children that are just like awesome pictures. And I brag on myself every once in a while. Like, I took that.
Yeah. I'm a good dad.
Right. But if you showed the other pictures you've tried to take.
Just the blur. Right. The child crying. Yeah.
Yeah.
This happens.
Yeah. Well, before we dive too deep into what's going on in the news stories, I would like to remind our listeners that we have a program here called the 10 Commandments Speech Challenge.
Yeah.
And this is for ages 7 to 17, and they can participate by writing a speech. But if you want to participate in that or get your children involved, maybe make it a Sunday school project or something like that, you can go to afr.net/10commandments where all the information is there. And this time, the topic for the speech is, why are the 10 Commandments important? So you can allow your children to kind of, and you can help them, obviously. Give them a little help, record a little video on your phone and submit it, and they will receive a 10 Commandments t-shirt, bookmark, and a coupon code to use at the AFA Resource Center.
Absolutely. And this is something, when we talked about this with Pastor Joseph Parker, he's actually the guy kind of heading this up. He's also the host of the Hour of Intercession program here on AFR. But we talked about this with him. Was that a couple of episodes ago, at least? Maybe last episode? I can't exactly remember. No, it was a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, it was a couple.
But it's one of those projects I think is really great that we do here at AFA. Really just digging into that side of our organization that really supports families and discipleship. Because, you know, we talk a lot about what's wrong with the world and maybe even ways that needs to be fixed. But honestly, I feel like it really echoes the heart of AFA that discipling your children, if you have children, or even if there are children in your circle of influence, just discipling them in the gospel and what the Word of God says is, you cannot underestimate how powerful that is. Mm-hmm. And that cannot be that is very important. Is right. very important for us to remember. So projects like this, I'm proud that the organization here does these, and proud to promote it. So go over to afr.net/the Ten Commandments.
Just Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments, and read more about that, and feel free to join up. Well, all right, Chris, what do we have to talk about today?
Well, we had a big Supreme Court ruling in the past few days. Mm-hmm. Long story short, it involved some pro-life medical professionals that wanted the FDA to stop distributing freely, willy-nilly, what have you, abortion drugs. Mm-hmm. They claimed, the pro-life doctors claimed, that it was there were a large number of women who were falling ill, and these doctors were having to treat them in the ER because the FDA kind of ignored science and removed this and that restriction to push this out there to the public. I bring this up because of a couple of reasons. The Supreme Court ruled that these pro-life doctors did not have standing. For non-legal people out there, that doesn't mean this is a open and shut case that'll never come back again. It just means these particular people have no argument in court.
Right.
Somebody else is going to have to do that. And the other reason I bring this up is because we've talked about this on the program before. When the Supreme Court a few years ago now overturned Roe v. Wade, which was a decades-long ruling that allowed for abortion up until a certain point in time to be allowed in the United States, when the Supreme Court overturned that, it didn't put an end to the issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of pro-life people that we interviewed and continue to interview on AFN.net have pointed out that, you know, the fight for babies is still ongoing.
Right.
Yes, this was a good thing that the Supreme Court overturned Roe, but we still need to be active. And ways that we can be active include actually engaging people politely, respectfully, and peacefully, demonstrating outside of abortion clinics or maybe doing sidewalk counseling, but also even churches can get involved. And I know many of them are. I know a church here in the area where we're based where a Sunday school class donates money on a regular basis to organizations like Preborn, which we've talked about on this program and also on AFR. So there are ways that we as Christians can get involved, and that is a way that we can share truth and apply Scripture, that being God's views on life.
Absolutely. And you brought up the fact that they were talking about the science behind this this issue. That's something I've been thinking about lately is how little actual science seems to be affecting our culture. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it time and time again where something like this, an issue that has, you know, that science would weigh in on, they're very selective about what they're going to hear because obviously they're going to promote a certain agenda. And so that's just an interesting thing is even when people will only push for something and quote science when science seems to support them.
Right.
But in the cases that it doesn't, they pretend like it doesn't exist. Mm. And I mean, in my mind, it's just like, well, so much for this enlightened culture that we're supposed to live in.
Right.
Right.
Science proves that a man can't have a baby.
Exactly.
But there
exactly.
are people in our culture today that say, even people in office say things like a man can have a baby.
Right.
And they want, and these are the same people over other issues like climate that want us to believe science. That's the quote, the, you know, believe science and stuff like that. It's hard to believe science when you are saying that, but you're also saying these other things that are non-scientifical, if that's a word, but also unbiblical. We know that a man can't have a baby.
Right.
Therefore, you know, some of these believe science arguments, really, we need to kind of confront those head on again politely.
Yeah.
Without, you know, you're never going to win somebody over to your side of the argument, especially when it comes to faith, being a jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've never met a person whose testimony included, I came to Jesus because somebody was so mean to me, you know, but because somebody lovingly engaged them and told them about the truth, the life, and the way.
Yeah.
And if you're out there doing like sidewalk counseling or you decide to stand outside of an abortion clinic to make your difference, remember that the women walking in there, a lot of them are confused, scared, deceived.
Yeah.
And are led to believe, and they're really taught that maybe that's what's for the best, that some of them really believe they're doing what's best for the child.
Right.
Because when they think, like, what kind of quality of life can I give this child? That means the child, you know, and so, like, yeah. they're told all kinds of things. And then one of the biggest ones is that's not a life yet. That's just a clump of cells.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, okay, well, I guess I'm a big clump of cells. I don't know. it's you know, so remember that mm-hmm. when you are engaging them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have a right to be angry about the sin mm-hmm. that is happening before you. Mm-hmm. But remember that you were once lost in sin as well.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And approach it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to issues like women that are in difficult situations, obviously there's a lot of pro-life pregnancy centers that are out there throughout the country that are more than happy to help that woman and that child in that situation. And, you know, many of them oftentimes have fundraising campaigns, and I know the economy is not great, mm-hmm. and many people are struggling right now, but if you are the kind of person that is blessed enough to sit in a drive-through of a coffee chain and burn gas while you're waiting to pay way too much for your cup of coffee, that money...
Way too much.
Yeah, that money on occasion... even if you were to cut your coffee budget in half,
right.
you could donate that. I mean, they would not shy away from $20 a month if you had that to give.
Absolutely. And if you want something to pray about too, we at The Stand, that's the department that I work for here in AFA, we've covered stories recently on groups of pro-lifers who have been in a lot of legal trouble, allegedly for violating something called the FACE Act, mm-hmm. which essentially the FACE Act is basically saying you can't block access to healthcare,
right.
Which the arguments that suggest that they were doing that are very, very thin and obviously mm-hmm. It's just a manipulation of words to get people in prison for standing up for babies.
Yeah.
So that's something you can pray about is there are lots of pro-lifers out there who are facing some real trouble legally being taken away from their family simply by being present in or around a building, not obstructing places. As much as just talking to people.
Yeah. And if you want to find that content, if you want to find the blogs and the articles that Jordan is talking about, you can go to afa.net/thestand where you can read the online blog and find out how you can receive your own copy of the magazine, the physical copy magazine, to your home. So, and, of course, our friends at American Family mm-hmm. News are covering 24, like they're constantly mm-hmm. putting out articles and news articles for you to be able to keep up with what's going on. So go to afn.net.
Yeah. A couple of other stories that we have right now I wanted to bring our attention to. I think this unfortunate situation I'm about to discuss happened after my last appearance on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the couple that was missionaries in Haiti that were murdered by gangs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They were close to, if not right at, like 2 years of marriage.
Mm.
He was pretty much raised in Haiti. She met him, I think, through Bible school and spent some time in Haiti, fell in love with the country there, and felt the Lord's calling on her life to help children there. In Haiti. And unfortunately, they were murdered by gangs. Mm-hmm. We had the father on of the young lady. He was on Jenna Ellis in the morning talking about that difficult situation. We had Dr. Matt Ayers, who is a pastor now in the Jackson, Mississippi area, former missionary there in Haiti. We've interviewed a lot of people about Haiti. And I bring that up because Haiti needs our prayers.
Yeah.
It certainly needs missionaries, but the world needs missionaries. And we need to be in prayer for them. Other places that are often in the news on AFN.net for persecution or missions, places like Pakistan. Obviously, North Korea still has Christians that are in hiding. China, we all know that situation there. So please do be in prayer for the missionaries that I mentioned there in Haiti, but also in Pakistan, North Korea, China, really worldwide. I mean, there are places. I met a guy recently from a country in Africa, and you know, they have to deal with Boko Haram, which was ISIS before ISIS became a household name.
Right.
And I know we face persecution in this country, but our persecution oftentimes is like, you must sell me a cake, or I can't believe you believe in Jesus. It's 2024.
Right.
That's nowhere near the level of persecution of some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who go to church not sure if they're going to make it home for supper.
Yeah, we putting that in perspective, I mean, one thing that I see, we live in a country where the fact that you're a Christian can actually win you votes to getting into office in some places. Mm-hmm. So, yes, while people certainly in our culture, in our country, hate Christians, and while there is certainly, you know, persecution, it is of a different kind. And when we look at other countries where people are being murdered, and that's just a daily thing that people just kind of shrug their shoulders at, or that is an actual stance of the authority, the government there, it really puts things in perspective. While, of course, we want to pray for the whole church, including the American church, I think that, you know, when we find ourselves talking about the American church, you know, what we're facing here, we need to put that in perspective and be like, well, we are also very, very fortunate and very, very blessed in so many ways. We need to be thankful for that. But yeah, absolutely. To there's a resource out there that has a list of top countries where Christians are being persecuted. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Is it Open Doors?
Open Doors. That's it right there. And they're a great resource to go to to, if you want a list of countries to talk, to pray about, maybe talk to your Sunday school class or people at your church about. I think that that's a great resource to go to. They keep up with the news, what's going on there. They also keep up with, you know, they refresh that list. Mm-hmm. If things get better or worse, they'll update that list. So it's a good thing to kind of keep your eye on and pray about.
And you think, I have a story. I had a friend, and this is like years ago, and she was able to go on a mission trip to China, and she, when she'd come back and was safely back in the United States, she kind of just discussed some of the things that at that time were happening, and you know how they'd have people that were designated to stand out in certain regions and direct people to the new church location, wherever it was, you know, because they couldn't just have a, you know, at that time, couldn't just have a place, which I mean, I guess it's still a lot that way now, and she says the life expectancy for those people was very short, because they would get taken in and you would never see them again, but there was never a shortage of people willing to do the job, and there are so many people with stories like what Chris has brought in that they were not ignorant of the possibilities of things that could happen, but they go anyway.
I bring it up, too, because sometimes when people continue to hear about bad actors, they kind of just write them off. Well, I'm not praying for them. But, you know, Scripture does tell us to pray for those who persecute us. And, you know, that is our brother or sister in Christ, even though they might not look like us, talk like us, worship the same exact way we do. Maybe they don't read our same translation or version. But that's still our family member in the faith. So we do need to pray for them. Even when they continue to infringe upon our safety and things like that. I often wonder, and maybe there is an answer to this in Scripture, and I just have never come across it, but I often wonder if many of the people that Paul persecuted when he was Saul were actually, like, in prayer for him. Was anybody in the prayer group praying for Saul / Paul when he was hauling off people that they knew, people that they loved, people they worshiped with? And, you know, did he end up kind of working with those people? Maybe he's met them in heaven since. But I don't know. That's just kind of a random thought that I do wonder from time to time on whether people were following biblical teaching and praying for those who persecuted them, and they were, you know, lifting Paul up in prayer. And maybe they played a role in his salvation story we read about in the book of Acts.
I think that's a great encouragement to pray for the situations overseas. And I think, too, if you look at, you know, Paul, but also like the rest of the book of Acts and the early church history and all of the severe, I mean, really severe persecution that they faced in the early days and just continuing till now. We see this explosion of the gospel. We see this growth of the church. If you want to think of a vibrant time for Christianity, it was when they were being persecuted under the rule of Rome and others. So I think that when we think of the persecuted church, we don't need to think of them, oh, they're like a little weak little flame in the wind, you know, overseas while we're here burning brightly. It might actually be the other way around. And so maybe have this expectation, well, the Lord's going to use this situation in a very powerful way, and I can participate in that by praying for them.
If you do encounter, let's say, like a national pastor at a missions conference or something that your church might hold at some point of the year, my church is having a missions conference later this year. But when you have a national pastor come into your congregation, ask them to be in prayer for you and fellow Christians here in the U.S. because I will tell you, those people in a whole bunch of countries I could think of and name off the top of my head, they have us beat in terms of worship and attendance.
Yeah.
And it's always so humbling, too, because oftentimes they'll bring a video and they're showing people that are just happy to have, like, four poles and a metal roof, and they're praising God over what they have, and, like, we get mad over the color of the carpet and whether or not we have enough K-cups. And and I'm sorry, fellow Christians, but Chick-fil-A not being open on Sunday is not persecution, okay? It feels like it, but our problems just pale in comparison to what they go through.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always that one guy that just needs, like, $3,000 to buy an old 1986 van to pick people up and take to church. You need to attend a missions conference somewhere to be brought back in line. Don't just depend on your revival to get you back in line with Jesus.
That's true. That's true. Well, what else do we have here, Chris?
Well, I do mention from time to time the fact that there are some missions projects that we can do here in the U.S. Obviously, we can go out and share scripture with people, but we can also be the body of Christ helping victims of various storms.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that up because this week on Washington Watch, which you can find on TonyPerkins.com, it's a show we air 4 to 5 Central on AFR Monday through Friday. It also comes on the weekends. I bring it up because one of the Grahams was on with Samaritan's Purse talking about their assisting storm victims in the Midwest and the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
For people that maybe have not paid much attention to things in the news, Oklahoma really just like took one on the chin for a couple of weeks in a row. There's storm damage in Texas, Arkansas. There's been other places as well in the Southeast part of the country. And so Samaritan's Purse is out there trying to help those people. And I checked a moment ago, our friends and allies at 8 Days of Hope are actually having a project in July, which you can find on their website, 8daysofhope.com. They're helping some people in the Buffalo area with some free home repairs. Mm. So if you have some free time this weekend, and good for you if you do, not this weekend, this summer, I should say, you know, maybe find some ways to go out and help people. I am a very low-skilled person. I have to watch 5 how-tos to figure out how to start my chainsaw. So, you know, I'm not an expert in this area, but I tell people from time to time when I know a neighbor is doing something on their house, like, hey, I can push a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
I can sweep. I can pick things up. So even if you are like me and you have no expertise whatsoever, there are ways that you can help various ministries out there, which, as our friend Steve Tiber would tell you, is a way to share scripture and love on people.
They may have you serving food to the other volunteers. There's so many jobs that can be done, and they will find a place for you.
Yeah.
And they're not just going to give you a hammer and walk away and be like, good luck. You know, you'll be, you know, you will find a place where you can be useful. But if you can't, and I realize some people, you know, can't get away from work or maybe physically cannot go out there, you can give through prayer and through money.
Right.
They're always I know these groups are always accepting donations to be able to continue to buy supplies and be able to travel and go out and do what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, this is very, it resonates a lot with something that I've been reading a lot in scripture, especially in the New Testament, when the apostles are telling Christians, you know, this is how you live out religion. There is, to me, a surprising amount of emphasis on providing for people's physical needs. And I think that that's seems to be de-emphasized sometimes in favor of helping people with their more spiritual needs.
Which is also very important.
Mm-hmm. But I think that emphasizing the physical needs just as much as the Bible does is also very important. And so, yeah, this lines up directly with scripture is, you know, it is very important to God that we as Christians in a physical world, we help people and meet, help them meet their physical needs if they're in need. And things like this, projects like 8 Days of Hope organizations, and ways for Christians to come, even indirectly through a donation, I feel like is really fulfilling that side of religion that Paul calls true and undefiled religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at a world full of unbelievers, mm-hmm. they're not looking for a spiritual guidance from you. And what they know and see is the physical need.
Yeah.
And when you help meet that physical need, then they're going to start wanting to know, why are you doing this for me? Like, mm-hmm. what makes you do that? And then in comes the spiritual part of it.
Yes. Yeah.
I will say, now I didn't live there when this storm happened last year, but never take your hometown for granted. Mm-hmm. Where I'm from in Mississippi was really just devastated by a tornado last year. And Tupelo, where we're sitting right now, is no stranger to tornadoes. Yeah. It was a really bad one back in the 30s that like baby Elvis survived. And then there's been some other ones in more recent years that damaged various parts of town, not including some very near where we're sitting right now. And so, you know, never take your hometown for granted and think, well, it'll never happen here. And also don't wait around for something to pop up in the news to kind of inspire you. Keep your eyes open. Mm-hmm. Talk to people at church. I know some people are still scared of this or that or whatever, but you can find out maybe even through closed circles. Hey, you know anybody in church that has a need? Maybe get your deacons together, talk about it in your Sunday school class, and be a blessing.
Yeah, organizing some sort of way in your local church to care for people, just even in your local church, I think is a great place to start. Just knowing what everyone's needs are, which is honestly just directly reflecting how the early church operated on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, we are almost out of time, so I just want to remind everybody that they can go to afa.net where they can find everything that we're doing here, include, you know, radio news and all that. But if you specifically are interested in the news, go to afn.net, and they're constantly posting there, and you can connect with them on social media and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being on with us today. And guys, until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture. Thank you.